Case number 11106, Alice P. Robinson, north of Route 1 Coastal Highway, northwest corner of Terrace Road and Silver Lane, begin half of lot 2, 3, 4, 5, and half of 6 within Silver Lake Manor Development. A variance from the required lot size requirement for a parcel, the minimum lot width for a parcel, and a corner side yard setback requirement.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Alice Robinson, 3827 Terrace Road, Nova.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mark Davidson with Pannoni Associates, 18072 Davidson Drive, Milton, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, members of the staff, Mr. Sharp, my name is Dennis Schrader, and I'm the attorney representing Alice P. Robinson, who is the applicant in the matter known as case number 11106. Mr. Davidson is to my immediate left, happily putting up some easels so that you can have some drawings to take a look at, and Mrs. Robinson is sitting to my immediate right in the front row. I guess the first place to start tonight is to say that this application is unique in the sense that it wasn't brought about by a surveyor or a settlement attorney, and so we'll give you a little break from that type of action. We have submitted to you an exhibit book on Friday that contains a number of documents that hopefully will help you understand how we got where we are today and what we're hoping to receive by way of your good graces as a grant of a variance for this particular property. The exhibit book includes the application. The second tab is a boundary survey. There are several deeds where the property was transferred title to. And there are a couple plots of Silver Lake Manor and the property acquired by Ms. Robinson. And last but not least, Mr. Davidson and I have undertaken to coordinate all of the various standards by which you will judge a variance and put the three variances into into the category that you would wish to see as a part of this process. As you may or may not be aware, there also this property is located in near Rehoboth Beach in that portion of the county which is adjacent to Silver Lake, and I have two additional documents that I would like to have made a part of the record. They include a tax map for 3-24-20.05, upon which Mr. Davidson has made some notations by way of coloring in lots, and he will explain what that means later. And secondly, his aerial photo of the property. The subject premises are those which are outlined in red, and I will, if you'll permit me, I'll start with Ms. Isaacs, and we have plenty of these to go around. As I pointed out to you, this is not the result of somebody's error, but this is a result of something that began in 1929. At that time, Mrs. Robinson's father-in-law, Mr. Robinson, and one of his associates determined that they would subdivide this property into Silver Lake Manor. When they did so, they laid out lots which were typical of the size lots that one would have seen in 1929. They're 50 by a little over 100 feet in depth. Some of these range as deep as 133 feet in depth, and it varies so that as you move away from Silver Lake and go towards what is now Route 1, you'll notice that the depth gets smaller. Ms. Robinson owns three lots and two half lots. And what Ms. Robinson proposes to do is to take the three lots and the two half lots and make them into four lots. We're not seeking to increase the total number of lots that would have been here in 1929. We're just trying to realign them. And as you can see from the various materials that have been submitted to you, what problem we have to address is that we have a half lot at one end of the string of lots that we own and a half lot at the other. And but for the realities of it all, if we could pick up one half lot and move it to the other end, it would be simple. But it's just not that simple. So as a result of attempting to make four lots, it's necessary for us to come before you and seek your permission and a variance to combine and re-subdivide the three lots into half lots into four lots, to get a variance for the lot sizes for lots 2, 3, 4, and 5, and to get a variance also for the corner lot for lot 2. I think it's important that you know as we begin this process that the old square footages for the lots in question is approximately 6,300 square feet. Obviously not in compliance with the modern zoning ordinances that occurred 80-some years later. If we are granted these variances and you permit us to do the re-subdivision, we're still going to be at about 6,300 square feet, which is neither larger nor much smaller than anything that currently exists in the area. Mr. Davidson, who is from Pannoni, is an associate vice president and the project manager, will show you how these properties evolved from 1929 to their current configuration, how they are affected by current on-site conditions, what effect they will have on the neighborhood and neighborhood lots where 50-foot lots currently exist. We'll talk about vehicles per day and the traffic and some other matters. And if you'll permit me, what I would like to do is stand down for a moment, ask Mr. Davidson a couple questions to get him started and let him present the technical side of this. I do have Ms. Robinson and anticipate to have one or two moments with her. We'll come back, summarize, and then we'll be glad to take any or all questions that you may have concerning this application. So with that in mind, Mr. Davidson, you are whom?
Mark Davidson. I'm with Pannoni Associates.
And you have a familiarity with the Robinson property on Terrace Road near Rehoboth Beach?
That is correct. My office did the actual boundary survey and all the plans associated with this property.
And have you brought with you various exhibits that will show how these properties were laid out, how they originated, and how we got where we are today?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson, good luck.
Just to kind of, in order to start here, what I'm going to do is just sort of show you what the surrounding properties are. I've put various exhibits up here, even the most current aerial map, which was passed out along with the tax map and the original subdivision plat, which is off to my left here, your right. That's the original 1929 subdivision plat that was pulled out of both the Recorder of Deeds office and the Delaware State Archives office. This boundary survey began with us having to recreate what was the original part of the subdivision back in 1929. And essentially, the majority of the lots within the subdivision were 50 feet wide. And they varied in length, being where Mrs. Robinson's properties are located, approximately 133 feet long from the Terrace Road to the Rehoboth property, all the way down towards Route 1. Route 1 being to the west of our property, Silver Lake being to the east of our property. The lengths of these lots go from approximately 133 feet down to 100 feet. So essentially, 50 by 100 being 5,000 square foot lots within the majority part, within the majority, as Mr. Schrader has stated, that the majority of these lots at 50 feet wide and their lengths as recorded are somewhere in the vicinity of approximately 6,000 to 6,300 square foot on average, some lots being a little larger along the lake. What we did, what we recreated the subdivision, we found some original markers to create what was essentially the original subdivision. On the 1929 plat that was in the Office of Recorder of Deeds, they called out an iron pipe and a concrete found in Silver Lake. We waded out in Silver Lake and we found that original marker under the water. So we started off with that piece of, we started off with that monumentation, and then we found a concrete monument that set back somewhere around the 1970s, which is an original concrete monument, and it was located under the paving that is the intersection of Terrace Road and Silver Lake. So we were able to recreate these original plats with
those markers as well as finding additional markers that were within this subdivision. So from there, we were able to establish that Mrs. Robinson had 200 feet of road frontage, a little bit more, and she was able to gain some of the depths that she had back when the subdivision was created, approximately 126 feet all the way to 131 feet on the west side of Silver Lane. As I go through some of my some of these comments on the standards for relief, I just before I do that, I want to point out that on some of the dates here in 1951, Mr. and Mrs. Robinson acquired lots 4 and 5. In 1972, they acquired one half of lot 6 from, I believe it was Mr. Robinson's sister. So she owned lots 6 and 7, and they acquired one half of lot 6. In 1974, one half of lot 2, which is now Silver Lane, was conveyed to the property at the rear, so the gentleman or the persons that owned the property behind these lots could have access to a public road. Other than that, I believe this property was landlocked and was not able to have access. They would have had to gain an easement through some adjacent properties to the north and to the west of this piece of property. And then in 1978, Mr. and Mrs. Robinson purchased the last half of, they purchased lot 2 and lot 3 as that was added to their original properties of lot 4, 5, and half of 6. Since that time, in about 1975, somewhere in the late 70s, is when Silver Lake Shores was established. It was a 9-lot subdivision to the rear. This piece of property on the north side, is it within the city limits of Rehoboth Beach? City, the municipal line running along the rear of these property lines. So this, on the south side of this rear property line is in the county jurisdiction, on the north side is in the city of Rehoboth. This subdivision gains access through Silver Lane, which is only 20, which is a 25-foot wide piece of ground that is the access to Silver Lake Shores. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through some of these standards for relief. And as you heard Mr. Schrader state, that we are asking for, and try to speed this up a little bit. We are asking for 3 variances. So in the packet that was handed out to you, I've answered all the questions within the standards for relief, but for the record, I'm going to go ahead and go through each one of these. But as I do this, I've got them labeled as variance 1, variance 2, and variance 3, as you see it on the application that was submitted. Again, variance 1 being the need for, being the request for 4 lots, 4 of the 50-foot lots. And as Mr. Schrader had stated in some of my answers here, what we're essentially doing is taking the 2 half lots that are on opposite sides of 3, 4, and 5, one on the east side, one on the west side, and we are we're combining these lots and then recreating the 50-foot lot. So essentially, it's taking the half of 2 and adding it to half of 3. Half of 3, adding it to half of 4, 4, 5, and then 5 to the 6. So as I read through my answers here, that's how this creation of these 4 lots are going to read. The second, again, being because we had to recreate this, and again, in talking with Mr. Lank and going through this application, stated that if these 2 lots, these 2 half lots had happened to be together, we wouldn't be before this board. Simply, he could recreate the 50-foot, he could approve these 4 50-foot lots back to the original subdivision plat
but because they're on opposite sides, we're having to create this. So in order to do that, because we're in an MR district, the minimum lot size is 10,000 square feet, so we're asking for a variance of 3,700 square feet. That allowing the smallest lot size that we have is lot number 5, which is to the west, which is the westerlymost lot, and it's 6,338 square feet. Lot 4, as you move west to east, is 6,404 square feet. Lot 3, 6,469 square feet. And lot 2, 6,535. So our variance is we're asking for an aggregate of 3,700 square feet from the 10,000 square foot. And the third variance that I'm going to go over is a 5-foot corner lot variance for lot number 2 only, along Silver Lane from the 15 feet down to the 10 feet. So that would just be for lot number 2, which is up against the corner lot, and it's up against Silver Lane. So from 15 feet down to 10 feet. Under the standards for relief, the uniqueness, do you have a unique circumstance or condition, such as irregularity, narrowness or shallowness of lot size or shape? On variance number 1 for the lots, yes, the property has 2 25-foot residual portions of lots. Lots 2 and 6, 25 feet wide each, and they're on opposite sides of the properties, and they're owned by Mrs. Robinson, thus requiring this re-subdivision of all the lots to gain the 450-foot lots. On the variance number 2, as to lot size, yes, there is not enough depth to the existing lots that would allow for the minimum 10,000-square-foot lot size as required in MR zoning district. The original lot size of the subdivision was not 10,000 square feet. And again, as I stated previously, 50 foot wide, and some of the, and again, we're at 131.36. Over here, it's 133 feet. If you take that and multiply it by 50 feet, you do not come up with the 10,000 square feet. Also, if you, on the survey that was submitted, if you look at lots, half of lot 2 and 3, which is parcel 365, I believe, that Mrs. Robinson owned, even those two lots together, the 1.5 lots, does not equal the 10,000 square feet. And I would venture to say that the majority of the lots within this subdivision, this neighborhood, would almost need to have 2 or 2.5 lots in order to meet the 10,000 square feet. And
excuse me, I think that's 325, isn't it, three, parcel? So just for the record.
325, yes. Okay. And then the parcel next door for lots 4, 5, and half of 6 is 326.
Right.
On variance number 3, the 50-foot, again, under the uniqueness, yes, the 50-foot lot without the variance will only allow for a 25-foot building envelope with the 15-foot corner lot setback. Under uniqueness, and under B, is there an exceptional practical difficulty due to such unique condition and not related to the general? Under variance 1, the original subdivision was for 50-foot lots, and due to residual lots, 25 feet wide each, being on opposite sides of the properties, the code will now allow the director to approve the 4 lots as was approved back in 1929. And as I stated, if this was those 2 half lots were together, Mr. Lank would have been able to go ahead and put approve the 50-foot wide lot. On the variance number 2, even at the MR district minimum width of 75 feet, there's still not enough depth. So I just previously went over that. Even at 75 feet wide, with the depths of all these lots, you still cannot obtain the 10,000 square feet. And variance number 3, for the setback, the increased width of the building area will allow a dwelling to be built that will be in kind with the other dwellings within the neighborhood. Again, all the lots in the neighborhood that are 50 feet wide are 30 foot, they have 30 foot wide building widths. On number 2, the possibility of development, can the property be developed in strict conformity with the zoning ordinance without a variance? No, due to the, And due to the residual lots on the variance one, lots two and six being on opposite sides of the properties, the ordinance in this case, and again, these lots being legal non-conforming lots, allows for the 50-foot wide lots as was approved and recorded back in 1929. So what we're proposing are to take it back to the 1929. Variance number two, the majority of the lots as currently recorded are less than 10,000 square feet. And number three, the zoning ordinance does not allow for the multiple scales of lot sizes that are recognized in the code. The corner lot requirement is set up as a one size fits all within the code, meaning that the regulation in the code states that all corner lots, the side yard setback's 15, and it doesn't matter if the lot is 5,000 square feet in size or if it's 3/4 acre or 1 acre in size. It's the one size fits all, so it's saying that it has to be 15 feet. And under some circumstances, even when the front yard setback, and some of the code talks about it, you know, in cluster developments being 25-foot front yard setback, again, that corner lot, or the code about corner lots still says 15, so it doesn't allow for the deviation of lot sizes. Is the variance necessary to enable reasonable use of the property? Yes, the reasonable use of the property is the 50-foot wide lots, as recorded back in 1929. In order for Mrs. Robinson, and what she's doing is some estate planning here, deeding each one of these lots to her children. She needs the each one of her children. She wants to be able to, she needs the four lots to be able to do that. Number two, on the size of the lot, the use of the property will be what the original 1929 subdivision was and intended to have with the size lots. Again, going back to the 50 foot. So a lot of this is redundant as I go through this. Variance three, the variance will allow lot two to have the same building width as the other 50 foot lots in the neighborhood, as I previously stated. Has the difficulty been created by the applicant? No, I went through this earlier. In 1972, the applicant acquired 25 feet of lot six. In 1974, 25 feet of lot two was deeded to Silver Lake Shores for the access to the development. In 1978, Mr. and Mrs. Robinson acquired half of lot two and lot three. Which gave them the ability to be able to recreate these 450 foot lots. Variance two has the majority of the lots plotted in the subdivision, again, are less than 10,000 square feet. So the difficulty wasn't created by them. It's already there, it's already present on site. And number three, the variance number three, the corner lot requirement in the code does not allow for the multiple scales of lot sizes, as I previously stated. Effect on surroundings, will the variance alter the essential character of the neighborhood? On the variance number one, on the number of lots, the essential character of the neighborhood is residential housing on minimum 50-foot lots. One of the exhibits that was passed out and that was part of the application was this tax map here. And this tax map here shows in red, of course, is the Robinson lot. And what the yellow is based on the 50-foot lots that are currently constructed on. And as I was going through this and preparing this application to submit, Mr. Lank, you know, had stated to me that a lot of the lots within this neighborhood, in this community, are going back to their 50-foot wide lots. So, in essence, if there was an older house sitting on two lots that were 100 feet wide, they are coming back in and asking for the 50-foot wide lots. So it's not going to alter what Mrs. Robinson's asking for, the essential character of the neighborhood. Again, being single-family houses, that's all she's asking for. And again, taking it back to what was originally approved back in 1929.
Sir? Is there a house on it right now?
Yes.
You can tear that house down? Where's that?
In the future, yes. That house will be torn down.
She's taking, what, two lots in there now?
Yes, it's approximately two lots right now.
She's taking right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. On variance number two, again, the character of the neighborhood are lots less than 10,000 square feet. It's not, and again, most of the properties and most of the parcels within the subdivision are all less than 10,000 square feet. The subdivision behind us, Silver Lake Shores, is shown on this plat here. This lot right here is 5,000 square feet. Six out of the nine lots behind us are all less than 10,000 square feet, smallest being 5,000. Our average size, our smallest size is 6,338, so again, it's not going to have any negative effect on the properties. On the variance number three, the variance will allow to have the width that is in character with the neighborhood. Again, the character of the neighborhood are 50-foot wide lots being 30-foot wide building areas with 10-foot setbacks on the side yards. Under B, will the variance substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use for development of adjacent properties? Again, the adjacent properties are residential, and properties within the subdivision neighborhood have gone back to their 50-foot wide lot widths as was approved and recorded. I previously just stated that as well. The majority of properties adjacent to these properties are lots less than 10,000 square feet. I keep going back to that. Variance number three, the adjacent properties are developed and in some cases sit closer to than what is being requested with this application. What was passed out again was an aerial photo. And although we went around and we surveyed this entire neighborhood in order to recreate this subdivision, I did not locate every house in the neighborhood, but what I can share with you is if you look at some of the corner lots here, you will notice that there are some setbacks here that are much closer. If you picture a 50-foot right-of-way, some of these lots in here are right up on top of these roads. So there's quite a few corner lots. And again, there are lots within this subdivision, within this neighborhood, that sit much closer than the 10 feet that we are asking for. I can tell you that Silver Lake Shores behind us, their front yard setback within Rehoboth is 10 feet. And some of the houses appear, if you look at some of these aerials, they're taking advantage of that 10 feet off their front setback line when building their houses. So again, not affecting the surrounding properties by asking for a corner lot variance of 5 feet down to the 10 feet.
Mr. Davidson, does the applicant plan on building something on that corner lot within a year?
I wouldn't say not within a year, no. Again, this is, I can't really speak for her, but what I can say is that, again, this is part of her estate planning, where she wants to deed, she has three children, she wants to deed each one of her children a lot as part of her estate. So as far as when the houses are going to be built,
I guess, the reason I asked that question is because you're asking for a 5-foot corner lot variance if the proposed subdivision were to be granted, correct?
Yes.
And then that corner lot, as opposed to having a 15-foot setback, would have a 10-foot setback.
That's correct.
Correct?
Yes.
But there's won't be a home on there for at least a year, is what you're saying?
Possibly at least a year, yes.
Okay.
Well, that's important because the variance is only good.
For a year.
For a year. So that's the reason Mr. Sharp's asking that question.
I got you.
So
okay.
We have to consider that also if you're going to be building on that, if you're back in here again for another variance.
Again, well, I can tell you that Mrs. Robinson's house, based on if you look here, her lots are situated more on 4 and 5. If given that, and when she deeds one over to one of her children could possibly build right away. So lot two, what would be lot two and lot three would be able to have, there's no building sitting on those lots right now, so those two lots could essentially be built within the year.
Okay.
And I believe I think I've covered everything.
Let me just ask Mr. Davidson a couple questions, if you'll permit me. I want to address this particular exhibit because this one seems to have been cut off a little bit. But Mr. Davidson, if you take a look at this particular exhibit, most of these lots were laid out as 50-foot lots. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And if you take a look at this portion of Rehoboth Beach, and we're not suggesting that what Rehoboth Beach did is binding upon you, but it's there for purposes of information. Most of the lots that were laid out in Rehoboth Beach were also 50-foot lots, correct?
That is correct.
And this was pretty typical of what would have been done in the 1920s when people didn't want 18,000 square foot houses 70 feet in the air, but thought that Rehoboth would be a small, or that Rehoboth in the area would be a small cottage-like community, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is the adjacent subdivision, which is in Rehoboth, and that is the Silver Lake Shores. Of the nine lots that are in there, how many of them exceed 10,000 square feet?
Three.
And how many of them are less than 10,000 square feet?
Six.
And the smallest would be how small?
5,000 square feet.
And of those, how many of them actually have 50-foot frontage? Well, let me try it this way.
Yes, there are those that don't have. There's one of the lots, I believe lot number two.
Has 30-foot road frontage. Lot number nine has 20-foot road frontage.
And those lots were all permitted under applications with the city of Rehoboth Beach, correct?
That is correct, yes.
But they are nonetheless adjacent to this property and make up the neighborhood in which our property is situated, correct?
Correct.
Are there also commercial developments in the area?
Yes, there is.
And where would they be, sir?
They would be to the west of this property.
And I'll show you, this is Baymark Shopping Center here. Down here, lots 21, 22, except maybe not 22, but I think 20 and 21 are the, I believe, the BB Medical Office. And then out towards the highway within the subdivision, there is a retail, maybe a contractor, I think, of some sorts.
Mr. Davidson, I'm looking at the aerial photo that you have on this easel over here, and I'm pointing to something. Do you agree with me that this is the rear corner of the Baymark Shopping Center?
That is correct, yes.
And it is approximately what? 300 feet from?
Less than that. I would say it's probably less than 200 feet.
Is there public water available at the site?
Yes.
And is served by whom?
Sussex County.
Is there public sewer available?
By Sussex County, yes.
Does your proposed plan for re-subdivision or combining and re-subdivision of these lots result in any changes in the public streets that are in front of these lots?
No, they do not.
Okay. There was a comment, as all of you must be aware, this particular application has drawn some attention from the Mrs. Robinson's neighbors. One of them is that there was going to be an increase in traffic. Mr. Davidson, were you able to make a determination as to what the traffic is on this particular street and how it would affect these lots?
As far as the current traffic day, I can tell you that the addition of these lots, each lot generates approximately 9.6 ADT, which is a trip in, which is less than five vehicles per lot. And that's all these houses. Again, as I stated, that we are not asking for an increase in density over what was previously approved. And what this entire neighborhood could go back to, which is what was previously approved back in 1929.
Thank you. I want to ask Ms. Robbins just a couple questions, if you don't mind. You are Alice P. Robinson. Ms. Robinson, have you had an opportunity to hear all of the things that either Mr. Davidson and I have had to say about your application?
Yes.
And do you accept those as if those had been your very own words?
Yes.
And thank you very much. That's all I have for you. I'll try to make it easy on the applicant. Gentlemen, this is a unique circumstance because of the fact that we are going back to a 1929 subdivision that lawfully exists. We don't see much of that anymore. I think probably the standard subdivision type application that we get in this building anymore is something that's in the middle of a cornfield. It involves the addition of amenities. It involves public utilities, laying out roads, drainage issues. Sadly, none of that was required in 1929, but what was developed or proposed in 1925 is consistent with all of the way the beach areas were developed. As you can see, at least on the south side of Silver Lake, there are a great number of lots that were put in that were 50 feet wide, same with the north side. There are currently many single-family dwellings located on 50-foot lots. My client currently has three non-conforming lots that are buildable under the current zoning code because they were established prior to Sussex County zoning going into effect in 1968 under the interim zoning ordinance. All we're looking to do here is to shuffle that two bookend lots of 25 feet each and make it into one 50-foot lot. So the net increase of density to the county and to the neighbors is one lot. That's what this is all about. And if you have any questions of either Mr. Davidson, myself, we're here to answer any questions that you may have.
With that square footage reduced to the 3465, and then what are they planning on going up? You know, you've got 42 feet with an MR district, so that's how your mindset is, that they can go up further than which would compensate for the square footage?
Yes, Mr. Ricker. That's basically what you would have to do.
Mm-hmm. Parking for these properties would more than likely be in the front?
Most likely in the front, given the, well, I don't know what the architectural styles would be of the individual lot owners, but it's potential, I suppose, to have a garage on site or underneath a unit, depending upon how much a person wants to build. Given the 42-foot height limitation on the property, you could have two stories and perhaps park one or two cars underneath and still have one in the driveway and meet the off-street parking requirements.
What concerns me is just that with this square footage reduced the way it is and everything, I would not in the future like to see people coming back for variances to build. You know where I'm going with this. In other words, with the square footage or setting within that in that parcel, that if we approve those parcels, you would probably have some variances coming in to build.
Well, I think the potential exists, Mr. Ricker, but given the fact that the three lots that currently exist lawfully are already 6,300 square feet, I think that what we're not, the risk that you have identified is not a risk that doesn't already exist. You're not creating a new situation. You're simply restating a situation that already exists. It does mean that there would be four lots as opposed to three lots. But nonetheless, they would all be, and again, I use the number 6,300 because I'm simple and it's an easy number for me to remember. But at 6,300 square feet, it's not perfect, but it's not illegal.
Okay.
And that's the way it exists.
It does, just for the record, it does allow for somewhere between 26 and 2,700 square feet per floor buildable space.
Not bad.
It's a lot of house.
That is a lot of house.
Just one question for the record. If you had just, and I assume maybe you had configured the property in three lots, would you have met the 10,000 square foot minimum?
No, sir.
Thank you.
What's the traffic like coming out of that Silver Lake Manor? And is there a stop sign there? I mean, what's that look like?
I think Mr. Davidson would be better served to answer that, but it's a circular pattern and it's one way.
It's a cul-de-sac, right?
Well, no. I'm looking at the corner.
The corner at this point, it's one-way like that. This is two-way here, two-way to here.
Well, what I'm looking at is the corner lot there, that half, half lot of number two.
Right here.
What does that intersection look like?
There's a stop sign coming down Silver Lane.
My corner channels.
And that's it. There's no stop sign.
Well, I guess the reason I'm asking that is one of the reasons that the county has the corner lot setback is so that there is some visibility for cars and pedestrians who are coming up on that intersection. And I'm curious as to how well-traveled it is, how visible that is, and that sort of thing. So if you could...
The sidewalk setback affects lot two, which... is here. There will still be a 30-foot setback.
Mr. Davidson, can you step back just a teeny bit so that Mr. Rickard can see what you're marking?
There will still be a 30-foot setback. There's a 50-foot right-of-way here. So you have the edge of pavement, you have centerline road. The right-of-way starts 25 feet back, and then you'll have an additional 30 feet back. What we're asking for is 10 feet from Silver Lane only. So as far as visibility and being able for site clearance, when a car comes up here to stop, this setback's not going to impede whatever's happening here. If cars are coming this way, this setback is on the opposite side. Anybody coming down Martin's Lane wanting to go into Silver Lane, our side lot will not impede traffic flow or visibility to be able to make this turn coming into here.
The road in front of the property is a one-way, you said?
Yes.
So if you're heading west, you're going away from that intersection, you can see it coming up.
That's correct.
Okay. So there's nobody heading east on that road in front?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Sharp, and I'll draw your attention to simply this exhibit, which shows you the effect of the 30-foot front setback, allowing for site visibility at that intersection.
Right. Are you in a flood zone, Mr. Schrader?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, we are not.
You're not? Okay.
I suppose after Hurricane Sandy, everything's in the flood zone, but for the moment, we are officially not in a flood zone.
Because there are some other issues you could get involved in there. But okay, that's fine.
Does the state of Delaware also access their property from that side road?
State of Delaware.
For 45 acres belongs to the state.
That's Silver Lake.
All the surveying that we did, I was able to uncover an easement between lots one and I believe this is lot five. As you can see on the original plat, there was a road that went straight to Silver Lake. Again, how the deed transfers for these two lots was not my concern. Once we established their boundary, that's where I stopped, but I do show where there is an existence of something there, but.
I guess my question is, from this cul-de-sac, there's all this property here. I didn't know if that was also accessed and what it was. It's not a park.
I think a lot of that's under
underwater.
Underwater. The shoreline has changed over time, so yeah, I believe it's underwater.
If you look at the exhibit that you're referring to, Mr. Mills, if you take a look at right in this portion right here, you'll see that there are property lines that extend into Silver Lake, and I believe that some of that property was the subject matter of some controversy in the city of Rehoboth recently.
Okay. So it's not like it's a park or anything where people would be traveling to.
No.
She had the half lot and five and four all together then. Right.
Yeah, she owns
They were all... Five and lots, half of lot six are together as one parcel, tax parcel.
One tax parcel, okay.
Correct.
Just out of curiosity, in the application, you have some copies of deeds, and they're dated 1998. Is that, am I looking at this correctly?
You are.
Okay, and that, those deeds were just within the family?
Yes.
Okay, any other questions from members of the board or council? Okay, are there people here in favor of the application? Is there anyone here in opposition to the application? Can you keep your hands up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. If you have a spokesman and they'd like to come up, or if each individual person would like to speak, please come forward now to be sworn in.
Just take your name and address for the record, please.
Kenneth E. Mills, 1 Silver Lane, right here with Beach, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm that this move that...
You got it.
I do.
This is my mom.
Peter Gambrell. What else?
Pardon?
What else?
Your address?
38232 Terrace Road, Rehoboth Beach.
Do you swear or affirm testimony about this truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Hi, I'm Joe Tholopak. I'm at 8 Silver Lane, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I have enough, if that's okay. Thank you.
Good evening. My name's Jane Patchell from Tunnel and Razor, and I represent a variety of neighboring homeowners who are opposed to the application. What is being passed around now answers some of the questions that you just asked to the applicant. You'll see some photographs of the property, including photographs of the street, including the narrow roadway that goes between Silver Lane in front of the subject property by Lot 2 intersection. Next, I printed out, similar to what Mr. Schroeder did, a county plot plan, but I indicated the one-way direction of the various roads so that you can see the traffic problems that are associated with this neighborhood. Coming from Silver Lake and from Silver Lane, there is one-way traffic in front of the subject property heading to the west. That happens and ends directly in front of this subject property that is before you for subdivision. There's one-way traffic heading in the eastbound direction from Route 1 to the exact same point, and then both lines of traffic, whether they're heading east or west, have to turn on an additional one-way street. So it's a little bit different layout there, as you may see. In addition, I am supplying to you copies of the original deeds from when these properties were originally acquired by Mrs. Robinson and or her husband, Thomas Robinson. That's where I'd like to start the focus of our discussion. The first area that an applicant must provide evidence of is that there are unique physical circumstances or conditions, including irregularity, narrowness, or shallowness, that requires a variance to be issued. Mrs. Robinson acquired three lots measuring 50 feet wide by approximately 126 to 131 feet, and two half lots, each having a width of 25 feet in Silver Lake Manor. These lots are no different than the other lots in the area, In fact, their own experts indicated that the other lots in the area are 50 feet wide. Many owners in the area acquired half lots to add to an adjoining full lot in order to provide them with 75-foot wide lot coverage, as opposed to a regular 50-foot wide lot as laid out on the plan. And you can see, based on the county tax map, there's quite a few of those properties that have been combined with one and a half lots, resulting in the 75-foot frontage. The property situated next to Mrs. Robinson's on Terrace Road is an example of such a property. It is owned by Martha Finlater and is comprised of half of lot number 6 and lot number 7, Silver Lake Manor. Heading westward along Terrace Road from Ms. Finlater's property, the next two sites are also 75 feet wide and consist of half lots merged with the full lots. The first one is lot 8 and 25 feet of lot 9, which is owned by Robert Robertson. And next is the Jennings property, consisting of 25 feet of lot 9 and all of lot 10. The reason that I provided the deeds to you is it's important for you to understand that Mrs. Robinson, when she acquired these lots, did not, never has, and never acquired four full lots. She purchased a 25-foot wide section of lot number 6 on December 29, 1972, which is adjacent to lot 5, which her husband had acquired along with lot number 4 in 1951. According to Sussex County Assessment Office, all three lots, which is lot 4, 5, and half of lot 6, have been used as a single home site and are identified with one district map and parcel number. You can tell by the photograph that the house that's constructed actually goes over several lot lines and therefore merges the two lots together based on the improvements that are there at the current time. Mr. and Mrs. Robinson acquired title to the southerly half of lot number 2, being 25 feet wide, along with all of lot number 3 of Silver Lake Manor on March 27, 1978. Again, from those deeds, let me reiterate, she never acquired four lots. At two different times, she acquired half lots, knowing that they were half lots, not able to be improved as full lots. Again, lot number 2 and lot number 3, or the southerly half of lot number 2 and lot number 3, are identified by Sussex County records as one district map and parcel number. All of the neighboring properties, which consist of one and a half lots, are also identified by a single tax map number. The case of John Yost and Catherine Yost versus the Board of Adjustment of Sussex County and Umbert Pamillo III, decided by the Superior Court of the State of Delaware on September 20th, 2011, involved a request for a variance where the lot in question was the same size as other lots in Broadkill Beach. It was 50 feet by 100 feet and had the same 15-foot side yard setback as every other corner lot in Broadkill Beach. The board found that the subject lot was unique because it was undersized for its applicable zoning district, which required a 10,000-square-foot lot and 10-foot side yard setbacks, and had an increased side yard setback requirement of 15 feet because it was a corner lot, very similar to the application that is pending before you now. The court on appeal reversed the decision of the Board of Adjustment and held that there were no physical circumstances or conditions particular to the subject lot that made it any more or less unique than any other corner lot in Broadkill Beach. According to the court, it was essentially the same size as every other lot in Broadkill Beach and had the same setback as every other corner lot in the area. This case holds that an undersized lot for its applicable zoning district is not unique and does not satisfy the requirements to support the issuance of a variance. Using the Superior Court's rationale from the Yost case, Mrs. Robinson's lots are not unique. The narrowness and shallowness complained of can be found in most other lots in Silver Lake Manor. The setback for a corner lot is the same setback required for other lots in the area. Therefore, the applicant has failed her burden of proof under this requirement for a variance. The second burden of proof deals with the possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity with the provisions of the zoning ordinance. This property can be developed in strict conformity with the provisions of the zoning ordinance. The applicant simply chooses not to do so for economic gain. The parcel size is approximately 200 feet wide by 128.5 feet in depth. It contains more than adequate square footage and frontage to be subdivided into two parcels, each lot having the minimum frontage of 75 feet and total minimum area of 10,000 square feet that would comply with the zoning ordinance. There are no circumstances or conditions prohibiting this type of subdivision, and no variance is necessary to enable this reasonable use of the property. The applicant's argument that there were four lots back in 1929 when Silver Lake Manor was first laid out is extremely misleading. As I mentioned to you before, Mrs. Robinson and/or Mr. Robinson never purchased or acquired title to four full lots. As previously mentioned, she and her husband acquired title to three full lots, lots number 3, 4, and 5, and two half lots, parts of lots 2 and 6, with full knowledge that the half lots could not be improved without being combined with an adequately sized adjoining lot. Therefore, Mrs. Robinson cannot now claim that a variance is necessary to subdivide the property into four lots to enable the reasonable use of it. The property she owns never was four separate usable lots, and she should not be granted a variance at this time to create something that never existed. In the case of BET Inc. versus Board of Adjustment of Sussex County, the Supreme Court of the State of Delaware affirmed the Board of Adjustment's decision to deny a variance request for the same type of situation as presented by the applicant today. BET owned a parcel of vacant land located in Swan Keys, an area zoned general residential, where all lots must meet a minimum size restriction of 10,000 square feet. BET sought a variance to enable it to subdivide its property into three lots of approximately 6,000 square feet. Similar to the application today, lots are slightly larger, 6,300 square feet, I believe, today. The Board of Adjustment refused to grant the variance. The Supreme Court stated that the applicant, in quotes, failed to show that there is no possibility of developing the property in strict conformity with the zoning ordinance. It wrote, quote, the property can be developed for a reasonable use, even if that use is not the specific one that BET had in mind. This is the same situation we have with this application. Mrs. Robinson can develop the property for reasonable use. It is just not the specific use that she has in mind. The applicant has failed to carry her burden that the property cannot be developed in strict conformity with the zoning ordinance. Thirdly, the applicant must prove that unnecessary hardship has not been created by the applicant. Again, turning the case of BET Inc. versus Board of Adjustment of Sussex County, the Supreme Court of the State of Delaware affirmed the denial of the variance request. The Board of Adjustment refused to grant the variance to subdivide the property into three lots of smaller size and lesser frontage than required under the zoning ordinance. The Board of Adjustment found, and the Supreme Court of the State of Delaware affirmed, that no undue hardship would result if the applicant were required to develop its parcel in conformity with the existing zoning ordinance. In affirming the board's denial of the variance, the Delaware Supreme Court stated, quote, the applicant has not shown that it did not create the alleged unnecessary hardship resulting from enforcing the ordinance. Highlighted language, the hardship here results from the manner in which the applicant would like to subdivide the property and not from the particular features of the property itself. In another case, the Board of Adjustment of Sussex County versus Francis Verlison and Walter Katoski, which was decided February 8, 2012, the Delaware Supreme Court again referred to the BET decision, where the hardship resulted from the manner in which the applicant wanted to subdivide the property. The court stated that, quote, a self-imposed hardship exists where a party comes to the restricted subject property with a particular unpermitted use in mind and mindful of the impossible area restrictions for that use. Here the applicant admits, and we have proven, that she purchased a 25-foot wide section of Lot 6 in 1992 and the southerly half of Lot 2 measuring 20-foot wide in March of 1978. The applicant came into ownership of those properties mindful of the impossible area restrictions on the half lots and therefore created a self-imposed hardship as defined by the Delaware Supreme Court. Title IX, Section 6917.3 of the Delaware Code authorizes the Sussex County Board of Adjustment to hear and grant variance requests only after finding that all five statutory requirements are met. In particular, many of the appeal cases have focused on the premise that the board must find that the exceptional practical difficulty was not created by the applicant before it may grant a variance. The applicant bears the burden of proof, and the board lacks authority to grant a variance where the applicant fails to show that he or she did not create the exceptional practical difficulty. Because Mrs. Robinson clearly created the self-imposed hardship and or exceptional practical difficulty, the statutory requirements of the granting of a variance have not been met, and the board lacks the authority to grant the requested variances. Next, the applicant must prove that the variance, if authorized, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood or district in which the property is located. You are in receipt of many letters from neighbors arguing that if granted, the variance requested will alter the essential character of the neighborhood. The creation of four lots will increase the traffic and congestion on already overtaxed roads. The streets in the area are one-way and quite narrow with limited parking. The area in front of the lots and at the intersection of Silver Lane has a water drainage problem. Further development in the area with additional impervious surfaces on lots will only exacerbate the situation, resulting in more pronounced drainage problems and cause more water runoff from the area to spill into Silver Lake. Looking at the county tax map that I provided to you, it should be clear that although there are lots in the area that are 50 feet wide, the majority of the lots are currently 75 feet wide, with 50-foot lots interspersed and not concentrated in a block of four 50-foot wide lots in a row. The applicant provided testimony regarding adjoining neighborhoods located in the city of Rehoboth Beach, subject to different variance or different zoning classifications, setback requirements, lot size requirements, etc. By definition, because they're in a different municipality, they really are not part of this neighborhood because they are not subject to the same restrictions as this neighborhood.
Let me stop you there. How come that your court cases, is that pertinent to know? I mean, I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, the court cases is telling you that.
What do these people say?
That's what
you're here for. You're here to represent these people, right? What are they?
And I'm representing them, telling you this is what the courts have said.
You're telling what the courts. I'm going through court now. I don't want to go through court. I want to know why these people do not want this done.
Well, that's part of what I'm telling you, why they don't want it done. And the other part is that the applicant must bear the burden, and the applicant has failed to bear the burden.
If you go to this, then I'll understand that. But I don't want to hear about all the court cases. This is the... This has to do with this case here, not anything as far as I'm concerned, that has happened prior to this. Well, this is a unique case now. Would you agree it's a unique one?
I do not. In fact, I just read you the court decision that says it is not unique.
Well, still.
Applying the same theory.
You're representing these people.
I am representing these people by showing you what they're...
Tell me what they want. Why they don't want this.
They do not want this, and that's what I'm telling you, that the streets are narrow, one way, limited parking is on there. They have a water drainage issue water runoff in the area by having additional impervious surfaces will result in more drainage issues as well as more water runoff to spill into Silver Lake. That the majority of lots are not 50 feet wide, so therefore they feel that it would have an effect on the character of their neighborhood, and that the entire Silver Lake Manor area is designated as an environmentally sensitive development district overlay area. Now, as such, the zoning requirements pertaining to the size of the lots permitted under new development were implemented in part to protect the environment from the effects of overbuilding. That's what our neighbors are concerned about.
Okay.
Now, even though that environmentally sensitive overlay area is exempted from single-family lots, it's common sense to think that a granting of a variance that would reduce the lot size and area requirements in the environmentally sensitive areas in any condition other than extreme condition is counterproductive and runs contrary to the intent of the comprehensive land use plan for Sussex County and responsible environmental stewardship. This particular development is located less than a block from Silver Lake. Major concern of all of the neighbors that live in the area is the stability and the integrity of Silver Lake. There's been many fish kills.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Part of it's because of the water runoff from development. Therefore, they are seriously concerned about the potential of adding an additional lot that was never intended to be an additional lot based on the acquisition of the two half lots on various sides. And essentially saying that we want to subdivide, but we want to subdivide based on the rules from 1929, not from the current rules, which means if everybody took that attitude, our current zoning code would be absolutely useless. They would provide information based on a plan that they had back in 1929 and say, based on that plan, I don't want to and I shouldn't have to abide with current zoning regulations that are more environmentally friendly, that have been designated with more open spaces, buffer zones, conservation issues in mind. So that is one of the big areas that we're concerned with. The last document in the package that I handed to you is another concern that we have. It's a letter from Douglas Wingate, a professional land surveyor of Wingate and Eschenbach, registered land surveyors. Now, we are fully aware that the Board of Adjustment does not resolve property line disputes, but we wanted to bring this to your attention, that apparently, depending which direction you measure the beginning point of a survey from, whether it's the Route 1 line or the Silver Lake line, apparently, the survey from 1929, the plot plan, contains 2.89 more feet of land than actually exists today. So there is the possibility of a boundary line dispute. The applicant was made aware of this by Mr. Wingate, and our recommendation for the neighborhood, because if a line is switched on one lot, it goes all the way down the line and will directly affect right. my clients who are the adjoining neighbors, is that any boundary line dispute should be satisfied before any subdivision is approved for this particular property.
That makes sense.
Last thing is if the variance is issued, it will represent the minimum variance that will afford relief to the applicant. Our position is because the applicant failed to carry her burden of proof to satisfy the following requirements for a variance, there is no minimum variance necessary or warranted. She failed to provide proof that the land was unique or that there was exceptional practical difficulty due to such unique condition. The applicant failed to prove that the property cannot be developed in strict conformity with the zoning ordinance and that a variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. The difficulty complained of has been created by the applicant. The applicant failed to prove that the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and therefore we respectfully submit that this board lacks the authority under Title IX, Section 6917.3 of the Delaware Code to grant the requested variances. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Patchell, do any of your clients intend on testifying as well? I know they came up to get sworn in. I didn't know if they were planning on speaking.
I'm going to have my client Ken Mills come up and just reaffirm everything that I stated for the board. Mr. Mills, have you listened to what I just stated in front of the board?
I did.
And do you affirm that what I stated is true and correct in your opinion?
I do.
I'm one of the neighbors as well.
Need to be sworn in. Oh,
he's already been sworn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd like to say that I agree with everything that's been said previously here. I'd also like to add a few personal observations. I own the property immediately north of the subject property. So if you go directly across Silver Lane, which is a 12-foot patch of road, my house is on lot 324, fronting on Silver Lake. I would like to express my concern about a couple of issues. One is flooding, which has been mentioned previously. Oh, Peter Gambrill, I'm sorry, is my name. The topography in this neighborhood causes massive flooding on my property every time there's a heavy rain. Silver Lane slopes eastward toward the intersection of Terrace and Martins and Silver Lane. Martins slopes westward. Terrace Lane slopes north down toward the lake. I own one half of what used to be a roadway that was deeded to my neighbor and I because they decided not to develop Terrace Road. As a result of the rain, the water comes from three different directions through my property, rising this high, and it's a mess. And so for that reason, I am against, I am for as little development as possible in order to prevent that problem for myself as well as Silver Lake. Secondly, there are three things I want to say. The character of the neighborhood. The character of the neighborhood is when you drive west on Martins Lane, which is a one-way street, and you get to that intersection, and when you're heading back to Rehoboth, you drive east on Blackstone Avenue and go across the bridge up into Rehoboth. If you look at your tax maps, there's not one property it's less than 75 feet in width there. My property, most of them, in fact, on Martins Lane, are 10,000 square foot lots. That's my neighborhood. I don't go up into Silver Lane. That's Rehoboth. That's not part of this neighborhood, in my opinion. So I would suggest that the character of the neighborhood will be very adversely, negatively impacted by having these 50-foot lots. Lastly, I'm very concerned about the proposed 10-foot setback versus a 15-foot setback on the existing lot number 2. As I mentioned before, right now you have a little 12-foot road, and that's it. It's paved. These are tiny roads back there, and if you have a house set in closer to the road than it should be, it's going to, especially if you have four of them with narrow lots, you're dramatically going to change the character of the neighborhood. You're going to impact the parking problems, and it's something personally I don't want to see. And so I just wanted to express my personal opinions here.
You feel like when you develop those, the way they wanted to develop those lots, that they would the runoff would be more?
Well, the more impervious area, the more the runoff's going to be, yes.
Runoff's going to be, in your opinion.
Yes, sir.
Tell me again which lot you live on. Are you in the
324. It's about 18,000 feet directly north of the subject property.
Is that in Rehoboth?
No. Rehoboth starts just west of my property.
Okay.
Where Silver Lane is before it gets into, before it widens out into Silver Lane Manor or whatever that division is to the west, the mm-hmm. cul-de-sac, mm-hmm. that the property line goes right across the lake there. I don't know if that's on your plat or not, but on the west side of my property, that's the end of the county, and the property just west of that, and the rest of them in that little cul-de-sac are the city properties. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So there's a lot of two-story, three-story homes in there?
The majority are two-story homes. There are some new ones that have just been built that are three and four stories, which don't fit, but I guess they got passed.
I see the one right here on this.
That's Caddy Corner from me, and right across the street from Lot 2. It is, I can't read this, it's right on the southeast corner. Well, it's on the corner of Martins Terrace and Blackstone, that corner lot that looks a little bit like a triangle?
Yes.
And then there's another one of those four-story houses with the kitchen on the top immediately east of that. All the other homes are more traditional, you know, two-story homes, one two-story homes.
So most of those homes in there are going up to meet the setbacks?
Going up to meet the setbacks. I don't know about the... I can't answer that. I mean, they're not. I assume they're not taller than the setbacks, if that's what you mean.
Three or four floors, should I say?
There are only two that are that high in the neighborhood. Okay. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Joe Philipak. I reside at 8 Silver Lane. I'm actually in Silver Lake Shores, which is the Rehoboth Beach development that is adjacent to this property. What I want to address is the nature and the character of Silver Lake Shores, because I think the lots, the way the other gentleman did the presentation, were slightly misrepresented in terms of their square footage. If you look at Silver Lake Shores, the smallest lot is 5,000 square feet. That's lot one. I have a house that goes across lots 8 and 9. And so the city of Rehoboth sees lots 8 and 9 as one lot. It's not counted as two lots. It can never be built as two lots because it does not have, each of those lots do not have a minimum of 50 front on the street. So therefore, if you look at Silver Lake Shores as 8 lots instead of 9, what you'll find is that there's only 2 lots that are less than 7,500 square feet, and we actually have 4 lots that are greater than 12,000 square feet. So, and none of those lots can be further divided. I mean, there can only be 8 lots there, and there will be 8 lots. But I just wanted to comment on that because that is the character of the neighborhood.
Does your home sit on both part of both lots there?
Yes, it does. It goes across both lots.
Thank you. I don't believe that's it.
Mills, I do have letters of opposition that we received. You can read those if you would like. There's 7.
Or you could summarize those.
I do have a letter from Mr. Philipek who just spoke, so I'm not going to. I think he pretty much stated his opposition. But I have a letter from a Barbara Crowder. She was writing to express her objections. She has a home at 2 Silver Lane. Her property abuts Mrs. Robinson's backyard. Having so many lots with houses on them would change the peaceful atmosphere. We have a Silver Lake Shores. Terrace Road itself would be impacted with so many more homes where it intersects with Martin's Lane and Silver Lane. These lanes, which intersect with other streets, are all one-way streets except for Silver Lane. The area of the Terrace Road in front of Mrs. Robinson's property is hardly wider than a driveway. I mention this because there would be such an impact on so many other properties if this variance occurs. Then I have one from a Phyllis and Kenneth Mills. They oppose the variance for several reasons. Foremost is the drastic reduction in frontage and square foot dimensions. Although there are other lots in the vicinity with reduced frontage, they are dispersed and not lined up like soldiers in rank. The presence of four houses fitted onto undersized lots in a row would alter the existing appearance of the neighborhood. If the property were developed according to code, it would be in character with existing homes in the area. Secondly, the traffic and congestion. The streets in this area are narrow and one-way with the exception of small sections of Silver Lane. The streets are confusing to drivers coming into the area, as is often leading them to drive the wrong way up Martin's Lane and Terrace Road. With the added traffic flow, the condition would only worsen, especially during our long tourist season. They are also concerned with safety. With the close proximity of 4 houses on small lots, there is a risk of fire spreading rapidly from one to the next, as occurred in South Bethany in November of this year. Also from Michael Wyatt, this is not a variance requested by an applicant for the purpose of enabling her to make relatively minor improvements to her home. It is instead a request for a series of variances, which, if granted, would enable her to create an additional building lot on her property. The result, in effect, amounts to a rezoning of her existing parcel for the purpose of sale. The crowding it would produce when developed, which the ordinances were designed to prevent, would be left to be suffered by the neighbors. Then we have a letter from J.M. Dukes and H.B. Hunter. They wish to register their opposition to a request for the variance to lot size for a parcel of variance for minimum lot width and the corner side yard. We have witnessed many vehicular and bicycling near misses in front of this parcel and in front of our own home involving motorists driving on Martin's Lane, Blackstone Avenue, and Terrace Road. Allowing a fourth home to be built by reducing the required setback would add traffic to this network of narrow one-way streets and limit visibility of motorists approaching this already dangerous intersection. In our tenure of almost 20 years, we have witnessed the construction of 12 new homes on Terrace Avenue and Blackstone Avenue between Route 1 and Robinson's Road. To our knowledge, there have been no variances of property setback requirements granted to property owners. In at least one instance, the prevailing setback requirements on a corner lot were honored by the property owners in ways that impacted the position of the house on the lot and the overall footprint of the house. And granting the variance to allow a fourth lot at this complicated road will worsen an existing safety issue and is not warranted. I'm almost finished. This one's from Sandra Neverett and Pamela Cranston. They're in opposition. Also, they have experienced a great deal of driver confusion and near accidents at a nearby intersection. Granting the requested variance would allow the owner to build four homes rather than three. If approved, one of the new homes would infringe on the corner setback. Approving the variance and allowing the fourth home to be built would only reduce the required setback and add additional traffic to this network of narrow one-way streets. While we respect the rights of the property owner, we're very concerned for the continued safety and well-being of travel on our street. Granting a fourth lot at this challenging intersection would only worsen an existing safety issue. Then we have from Bernard Bateman. He is a neighbor. Martin Lane is the only access to the proposed variant site. He is very concerned about an increase in traffic on this small one-way street and in the neighborhood. There have been instances of parked cars being side-swiped on the street and additional traffic beyond what is permitted. We have had power outages from construction vehicles catching the overhead power lines at the intersection next to reference sites. Overbuilding in this area could add to the phenomena. An additional house would increase the traffic by 10%. Parking is also a major issue. Providing off-street parking for two cars does not cover the normal vacation home. Typically, there are four-plus cars at a beach house. Families and friends all want their own cars. Parking these additional cars on the street will add to the congestion. The other pertinent issue is water control. There currently is a major drainage problem at the intersection of Terrace Road, Silver Lane, and Martin's Lane. Whenever it rains, the street is flooded. It takes at least a half a day for the water to dissipate. Currently on this site, there is one home in a large lot and large grass area to absorb the water. The runoff dumps into Silver Lake. There have been fish kills over the last couple of years. The lake is a jewel and needs to be protected from excessive runoff and pollutants. Allowing development beyond what is currently permitted would further tax the already fragile Silver Lake. And that's pretty much why he is in opposition. And then we have one more, actually, so there's eight. There's basically a petition, and there are 20 signatures on it, and it's basically the same reason. Increasing traffic, noise, and a less safe neighborhood to decrease their property values and
environmental? Environmental?
No. But the variance would, which requests radical change to the current zoning regulations, is not necessary for the additional development of the property. Okay?
Thank you, Mrs. Isaacs.
You're welcome.
Mr.
Chairman, if you'll permit me for just one moment, there were a couple issues raised by my worthy opponent that I just want to address quickly, and one of them is I think that we should all remind ourselves that the focus of this application is whether or not the dimensional use of the land should be subject to variances. On the supported and unspecified concerns without technical support about traffic, drainage, or any of the like is not considered evidence under the case of Wilson versus Sussex County, and the arguments of attorneys, including me, are also not evidence of any matter before this Board of Adjustment. I did hear Ms. Patchell say that we should not consider the effect of Silver Lake Shore on the neighborhood because it was zoned under Rehoboth, and I suppose we should give the same weight to the opposition from that neighborhood as we give to the zoning code of Rehoboth Beach as to whether it is or is not a neighborhood. Ms. Patchell did cite the three cases, and quite frankly, I would like to have the opportunity to respond to those cases. The citations weren't given. I'm familiar with the BET Board of Adjustment case and would like the opportunity to address those on a schedule to be established by the board either at the next regularly scheduled meeting or some later date that you feel is appropriate so that I can compare or contrast those cases from the facts that have been presented to you this evening.
What is your opinion, Mr. Sharp? We should allow that?
Well, I mean, we've had quite a bit of testimony tonight. You know, I don't know that this is a place for oral argument, but, you know, there has been something, some cases cited, and if the applicant feels that they want an opportunity to review that to determine whether or not there's some things they need to add to their application, I don't necessarily think that's a problem. I mean, I think that's something that the board could do. Ms. Patchell.
Yes, I'd like to state that my worthy adversary himself represents municipalities and should know these cases off the top of his head. And if he doesn't, that was part of his preparation. This should have been done just like it was part of our preparation. Everybody in Sussex County is aware of the Supreme Court case that was decided this year that states that all five requirements for zoning needs to be proven, and the burden of proof is on the applicant. I don't think there's any additional requirement or any additional investigation or legal authority that needs to be cited on that. It's a Delaware Supreme Court case. It's been in all the newspapers, been addressed in your hearings before. The bottom line is, did the applicant prove all five requirements for a variance to be issued? I don't believe we need any legal opinions on that or a continuation to get a legal opinion on that. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe I'm not as worthy as Ms. Patchell would have me be, but I'd still like to have the opportunity to respond to the three cases. Thank you.
And again, Mr. Sharp, I'll refer to
I see no problems with, you know, allowing the applicant. I mean, this is a case where the burden is on the applicant to address the standards, but in a case where there has been substantial opposition, significant opposition, about the as to what the applicant has proposed, I don't necessarily have a problem leaving the record open to allow the applicant that opportunity to review those cases and perhaps briefly some supplement their application. That's certainly the board's decision. I think what Mr. Schrader has essentially articulated is a request to allow the case to be left open so that he could review those items. The other option there is by leaving it open, you also leave it open for everyone to, whether it's supporters or opposition, to have their two cents, or you could limit it in such a way that it is tailored for a specific purpose.
Very well.
I think, Mr. Sharp, aren't we really, I think it's been stated over and over again, that they have to meet those standards. That's it.
The Verlaisen,
that's as far as we have authority, we have to go, right?
The Verlaisen case that came out in February,
right,
clarified some things. It was a Supreme Court decision about what the Sussex County Board of Adjustment standards are. not the town of Rehoboth, not Kent County, not Newcastle County, the Sussex County standards. So that has been a little clearer this year than what we've had. And I think some folks are in the general public are still wrapping their heads around that decision. And if the applicant wants time to look at that, I don't have a problem with that. And especially the fact that there's been, I think, four different cases cited between the two parties here today.
Well, gentlemen, I'll ask what would be your pleasure. Keep in mind that we can also continue that in an additional meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. We table this case to the next regular meeting.
You're not going to leave it open?
I think we've heard everything. Well,
if that's your motion.
That's my motion. I think we've heard everything.
Is there a second to that motion?
I do agree with her. I think he had a chance to bring that up, and he didn't do it. Well, I don't think he should be left open.
How about if I may make a suggestion, how about if we take it under advisement and we could possibly discuss it a little more at the end of the meeting and decide whether we want to table it. Open
or leave it open
or table it open or just table it and review the information and give it some more thought.
I think that's a good idea. I'll second Mr. Hudson's.
Is that your motion?
Yes, that is my motion.
Is there a second?
Yes, I'll second that.
Motion has been made and seconded that we take case number 11106 under advisement. All those in favor, the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Those opposed, and the motion is carried to take case number 11106 under advisement. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a short recess of about 10 minutes, and then we'll reconvene.